Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Chof. We're beginning with Chof Omer Aleph, about 12 lines down from the top. Chof Omer Aleph with the words Omer Yonatan ben Elazar. We've been dealing with discussions of Tumah and Tara, and we continue in the discussion with the following statement from Yonatan ben Elazar. He says, Nofla Ma'afarto Heimenu. A Ma'afarto, Rashi tells us, is a suder, a certain type of a kerchief. And the Rebbeinu Chananel, he says that it's a mitznefes, some type of a hat. So it's some sort of a kerchief or a hat or a shawl, and a person was wearing it and it fell off from him. And he tells his fellow that's there with him, Amal Chadeiro, he says to him, Tanali, please pick that up for me. And the person picks it up for him. So what's the halacha? Tshmeya. Rabbi Yonatan ben Elazar says, now the mitznefes, this shawl, this sudar, is going to be tameh. Why? Rashi explains, Afilu zeh tar, even if the people are tar. And we'll explain, because when it fell off you, you weren't watching it. The other person's watching it. And therefore, I'm not watching it because it's in your possession. You're watching it. The person who picked it up, he wasn't careful about watching it. The Meimar, because he's saying, since this person said, just give it to me, see, he doesn't know if I'm Tomei or I'm Tar. As Rashi says, Weinu Yodeh, Im Tomei, Ani, Im Tar. Lo Chosh L'Tarasu. Therefore, he doesn't care. And he's not worried about this being Tomei or not. And therefore, Rashi says, Yesh Kan Hesech Hadas. There is a loss of attention to this object. O Machmirin B'Taros have a Hesech Hadas Tuma. And therefore, in this stringency over here, we say that it is Tomei. That's why Rav Yonatan ben Elazar says, that this item, this hat or shawl or kerchief that fell off his head, is going to be tameh when the other person picks it up. Point number two, Amram Yonatan ben Amram. Yonatan ben Amram tells us, a person went to his closet to go take out clothing. He was taking out in his mind his weekday clothing, which has a certain level of shmira on it, that he watches it, but instead he took out his Shabbos clothing. So nischalfu lo kelim shel Shabbos bekelim shel chol. He, by accident, took out his Shabbos clothing, thinking it was his weekday clothing, ulevashim, and he put it on. And he was only watching with the normal type of watching that he did for his weekday clothing. In this situation, also, nitbu, the clothing became tamei. Again, Rashi explains why. Because we're thinking here, Hashto the Sirulei Mishmar Hadavar Becheski Shudavar Zeh. He thought it was the weekday clothing. It turns out it was the Shabbos clothing. Then Shudavar Acher was something else. That's not considered Shmira. Eino Shamur. That's why, according to Yonatan ben Amram, it is not going to be Tar anymore. It's going to be Tomei. Shmira for something that you thought was A and it really was B, even though you're watching it the whole time, is not considered a good Shmira. And the third in this series of cases, and then we'll get to our questions, will be the following. Amar Elazar of Tzaddok. Elazar, the son of Tzaddok, tells us, sometimes it's Rabbi Tzaddok, nice, the once was a story, Bishtei Nashim Chaveros, there were two women that were Chaveros. Now Chaveros here doesn't mean that they're just friends, it means that they were like by the man. A Chaver is a person who is a knowledgeable person, he is careful with Tum and Tara, we're dealing with Tum and Tara, so the definition of an Amah Aretz and a Chaver, an Amah Aretz and a Parish, which we've been talking about, is specific for this inyan of Tum and Tara. Sometimes you're dealing with Trumas and Isos, you have different definitions. If you're dealing with other things, you have different definitions. So here, the definition of a Chaver or a Chaveira, a man or a woman that is careful with Tum and Tara, also known as the Prushim, as opposed to Amaratzim, which are not. So here you have two women, Shtei Noshim, that are careful with Tum and Tara, they're Chaveros. And they exchange, they went to the mikvah, they went to the bathhouse, whatever they were going there, and their clothing got misplaced. Woman A put on woman B's clothing, and woman B put on woman A's clothing. Now, they didn't have the right shmira. Each of them was thinking they were watching their own clothing from becoming tameh. Instead, they were watching their fellow person's clothing from becoming tameh. And they therefore went to ask Shaila, Bar Maisel, they asked Rabbi Kiva, are the clothing Tahorim or not? Vitimon. And Rabbi Kiva said that they're Tomei. Again, the Havamin over here is that when you have a Shmira for item A, and it turns out it really was item B, that's not considered a good Shmira, and in this case, they're Tomei. So cases 2 and cases 3 are clear that you thought you were watching A, and it turns out it was B, that's not a good Shmira. Case 1 is a little bit different, as we'll see. That's a situation where there was a Hesach Hadas, and each one thought the other one was watching. We don't have Shmira when it's in somebody else's possession, only when it's in your possession. So we have these three cases. So the Gemara says, Ma'askif lo Rav Shaya, Rav Shaya has the following Shaila, based on what you just said, that if you have intention to watch A, and it really was beat, it's not a good shmirah. So then how come hoshit yado l'sal? If a person put his hand into a basket with the intention litol pasrita to take out a wheat piece of bread, and instead also be yado pasor, and instead he took out a piece of bread that was made out of barley. So he thought he wanted a wheat bread, and instead he took out a barley bread. So then Rav Oshai says, is this true? He had shmira for the wheat, not for the barley. It turns out it was barley, so that's not called good shmira. Is that really true? He was careful the whole time. It didn't come into contact with anything tummy, just the fact that he thought it was wheat, and it turns out to be barley, that ruins it? That's what you just told me in the case of Rav Yonasan ben Amram, case number two, and the case of number three of Elazar ben Tzadok, that if you had shmira for A and it would turn out to be B, it's no good. So here too, he had shmira for the wheat, and it turns out to be barley, it's no good. Is that really true? And you're going to tell me, and you're going to tell me, yeah, it is true. Then that doesn't make any sense. Well, Tani, we learned in a braisa, if a person is watching a barrel, now this is an earthenware barrel, it can only be matami from the inside. Earthenware, klicheris, is not matami from the outside. So, if a person is watching a barrel, and he thinks that there's wine inside of this barrel, he's watching carefully to make sure that nobody comes and sticks the hands inside the barrel and makes a tummy. But as it turns out, Vinim says, Shel Shemin, it wasn't wine inside, it was oil inside. So what's the halacha? If you're telling me you're shomer something for A, and it turns out to be B, it's no good. So then in this situation, it should have been that the barrel is now tummy. The oil inside is now tummy. But that's not the din. The Brisa says, Tahora Milatame. It in fact is Tahora, and it cannot make something else tummy. So we see that even though he was watching it for thinking it was wine, and it turns out that it was oil, it doesn't ruin it. Tahora Milatame. It still is good. So, kasha on what we just said in cases 2 and 3, what's it, and ula taimech, and according to you, ema seifa, it says, and this brisa, while it's tohoro mi letame, it can't go and be metame something else, vasuro mi lecho, but you're not allowed to eat this oil, you're not allowed to drink this oil that's inside this barrel. So, if you're telling me that it's tohar, so then it should be tohar for both. It should be tohar milatame and tohar lecho. How come it's tohar milatame and asur lecho? Am I? Why should that be the case? Why is there a different din over here in terms of the oil itself? It's not allowed to be eaten, but it can't go and be mitame something else. So Amar Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah tells us a very big chiddush. He says, but Omer, you know what we're dealing with over here? The person said, who was watching these, what he thought was a barrel of wine, it turned out to be a barrel of oil. This person said, Shmartia, I was careful to watch it, Midava Hamitama. I was careful to watch it from an Avatuma. An Avatuma would turn it, when it touched the Avatuma, would touch it, it would turn it into a Rishon, and then that Rishon could be Metame something else, i.e. a Sheni, and therefore that I was careful about. However, I wasn't careful that it didn't get touched by a Rishon, because that would make it into a Sheni, and a Sheni can transmit further, so therefore, that I wasn't careful about. So in other words, he said, there's a difference in the Shmira that I had. I had a level of Shmira, only that it shouldn't come into contact with an Avatuma, because then it could be Matame, it would become a Rishon, and that could be still Matame further down the line, but I wasn't careful about it coming into contact with a Rishon, because that wouldn't be able to transmit it down the line. Yes, it would be post-sell, that item, but it would make it into a Sheni, but then a Sheni doesn't make it into a Shlishi. We're dealing here with Chulin. Shmuel says, really? Umi ika nitirusa lepalga? Is it such a concept that a person says, I watched it carefully only from things that could be matami it, but I didn't watch it carefully from things that could be post-sell it? Again, just to remind, to make sure everybody's clear with this terminology, it's a little bit unusual, that when you say matami, it means it can transmit tuma to that item, as well as an item beyond that, like avatuma to a Rishon to become a Sheni, and then post-sell would be, if a Rishon touched it, would make it tome, but that wouldn't be able to transmit further, so we use the terminology post-sell in that situation. In any event, Rav says that we distinguish over here between the two different types of Shmira, and the Gemara says, is that really true? And the Gemara answers, in. Yes, it is true. Well, Tanya, because I'll show you the following Braisa. The following Braisa tells us, Hoshit Yodo Basal, if a person sticks his hand into a basket, and Rashi says this basket has inside of it, Sal Shel Ta'anim Al Ksefo. This is a basket that is filled with figs that is on his shoulders, on his back. And the hasal al ksefo, and the basket is on his back, on his shoulder. Bahamagrefa, now a magrefa, Rashi says, is a kli barzel, it's a certain type of metal tool inside of it. Shagorfin bo efer akira, which is used to go and shovel out an oven, or alternatively, it's used for separating the pressed figs together, they get sticky and it separates them. Now, he puts his hand into this sal al ksefo with a magrefa inside. He was only careful over here about the basket itself. But But he wasn't careful about something touching the magrefa, something touching the shovel. Now, hasal tohar, the sal stays tohar, because that's what he was careful about. But the magrefa is tmeya. Now, this doesn't make any sense yet at this point, so the Gemara continues and says, why? Hasal tohar, why is the sal considered still tohar? It should, tetame hamagrefa lasal. Why isn't the magrefa going to be metame to sal? So the Gemara gives a simple answer to that. That's because ain't kli metame kli. Normally, one kli is not metame another kli. If a kli is a rishon, it doesn't metame another kli. It's only metame oklu mashkin. So a kli is normally not metame another kli. The exception to this rule, if the kli is an avatoma, that's unusual, and we're speaking here about usual things. So therefore, normally a kli, a rishon, for example, doesn't metame another kli to make it into a sheni. Where it says, okay, still, v'litame mashe basal. So let the magrefa, which you said you weren't careful about watching, let it go be litame mashe basal. It should go and be metame any ingredients that are in the sal. And here, where we have the punchline, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, you know what we're dealing with? Ba'omer shmarativ midover shemetamo v'lo midover haposel. Oh, this is exactly like what Ravina said. Here's the proof that this is true, that you do have Ika nitirus lapalga, that you can have this half shmira. I was watching it only for things that were metami it, but not things that could be posalit. You see from here, this brisa, exactly that. Ravina tells us that this person who was holding this sal aksefo with a magrefa besocha sal, he said, I was very careful to guard the sal from something that could be metami it, but I wasn't careful to watch it and prevent it from coming into contact with something that could, quote, only be posalit. So, here we have our answer that yes, we could be dealing over here with something that shmartia midvar hametama v'lo midvar haposla. Now the Gemara says, but okay, we still have our basic question. How can we have the case 2 and 3 that we brought before? Rav Yonos ben Amram, case number 2, which was when the person took out what he thought was his weekday clothing, but it really was his Shabbos clothing. So he said it became tummy because he didn't have the right shmira. And Rulaza Ritzado, case number 3, with the two women that the chaveros, and they exchanged their clothing by accident when they were in the bathhouse in the mikvah, and we said, Rabbi Kiva Paskin, in that situation, that they're all tame. Now, how come? If we just proved from our case with the sal aksefa of amagrefa besocha sal, that even though he wasn't intending to watch something specifically, he just had intention to watch it from something that was metame, not something that was posel, so you see clearly that even though he had intention for one thing, if there's an intention for something else, it doesn't ruin it. So how come in those two cases, case number 2 and number 3, we say that it ruined it? That's kasha number 1. Kasha number 2, but oh, furthermore, Moshe Rabba Barabua. Rabba Barabua asked the following shayla. Maisa Bisha Achas, there once was a story with a woman. And she came, Shabbos, in front of Lifnei Rabbi Yishmael, and she asked him the following shayla. And she told him, Yomelo, she said, Rabbi. She was asking a shayla. Beg is arachtiv. I weaved this garment together, and I weaved it together, bitara. Well, I was very careful about being tar. I wasn't anida, I wasn't doing something incorrect, I wasn't metamiyat, so I wove this garment while I was tahora. Below hayo belibi, however, l'shomro bitara. But I didn't concentrate and focus to make sure that I was hinani muchan mezumen, trying to make sure absolutely that nothing happened to this garment. As Rashi points out, what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with this woman, Indira Maskal Arakti Vitara, Yodasani, Shemishar Shinarak, Bo Gimel Al Gimel, let's suppose, she was very much aware that as soon as it reached the point where it could accept Tumah, when it was 3 finger breasts by 3 finger breasts, Shinira Lutumah, at that point it could accept Tumah potentially, Lo Noga Bo Tumah. She was very careful in knowing that there's no Tumah that touched it. However, Mikol Mokom Lohio Belibi Lishamro, but during the actual process, she wasn't necessarily watching to make sure that it didn't become tame. Afterwards, she said, "Oi, I know it needs that shmira. I wasn't really shomer it, but I know that nothing touched it." So that's the shaila that she came to Rabbi Yishmael with and asked the Rebbe in this situation. Beg is there active b'tara, v'lo yibelibi l'shomer b'tara. I know that nothing happened to it, but I wasn't careful to make sure that I was watching it every second of the way. So is the emphasis on the din, bottom line is, you know that nothing happened to it, and therefore it's not tame? Or no, unless you had intention to do a good shmira, it by definition becomes tame in any event. Now, the latter is what the Chachamim had said, that if you don't have intention to watch it, then it becomes tame. This hesach hadas makes it become tame. Umitoch bidikos, show you Rabbi Shmuel Boltkos. Rabbi Shmuel was checking her out. Is she telling me the truth? What went on? What happened? As Rashi says, ho, avaloya belibcha lishamro, since you admitted that you didn't really have in mind to watch it, so he's trying to figure out what happened. So he's asking her questions back and forth. Shema ira bokach v'kach lo nisaris. Maybe something did happen and you weren't careful, and now I can paskin that it is not in fact tar. So, mitoch b'diko she'er b'shmol bodka amrlo, in this series of b'dikos, she ended up speaking to b'shmol and told him, Rabbi, Anida Moshra Imi Bachevel. Yes, now that you reminded me, a woman came in who was Anida, and Anida obviously would be Batami things if she touched them, and she helped me with the rope. She helped me tie the rope that was needed in the weaving process. So Moshra Imi, she pulled with me this rope. Now, what happened in this situation? It's very possible that in pulling the rope, it's not the rope that we're about, it's the garment. And once the garment reads three finger breaths by three finger breaths, it's capable of being Batami Tumma. And therefore, maybe this woman who was Anida moved the garment, even if she didn't touch it. There's something called Tumas Hest. If she just moved the garment, even indirectly, so the movement of Anida, of something else, that's Tumas Hest, and it would make this item that she was weaving over here, Tommy. So when Rabbi Shmuel heard this, he said, ah, the Chachamim, how smart they are. So, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim, how smart are the Chachamim? You have a similar idea in Hilchos Shabbos. You remember back early in the Masechta, when the Tanoim said, oh, I'll be able to read and not adjust the light. And in the middle of his concentrating on the reading, he was about to adjust the light and said, oh, how smart are the Chachamim that say, no, don't take any chances. Same thing over here. Kama Gedolim Divrei Chachamim. Unless you had absolute intention to watch it, don't say afterwards, oh yeah, I don't think anything happened. Shahayu Omrim, the Chazal would say, Belibo Lishomro Tar. If you have intention to watch it while it's going on, then it's considered Tar. Ain't Belibo Lishomro, but if you weren't intending to watch it, you can't say afterwards, oh, I don't think anything touched it. In that situation, we don't rely upon your retrospective thinking, and Tomei, we say it's Tomei. Another mice, identical to this, happened again to Rabbi Shmuel. Shuv mice v'isha achas. Another time a woman came, she bossed the Rabbi Shmuel and her little Rabbi, and she asked him the following shaila. Mapa zu araktiya b'tara. This garment over here, this mapa, this cloth that I was weaving, I did it b'tara. V'lohi b'libi l'shomer. But again, I didn't have intention every step of the way to make sure that it didn't become tummy. And again, is it now tar or not? This mapa. Do we say that after the fact she's believed to say, no, nothing happened to it, or do no, we require absolutely at all times that there be a conscious effort not to let it become tameh, and only then do we say it's tar. So, Rabbi Shmuel does the same thing. He checks her out, and he's conversing with her. And through all the conversations that he had, what about this, what about that, it turned out that she tells him, Amar lo Rabbi, she tells him, Nima nifsuko li, there actually was one of the threads over here that broke, and ukshartia bapeh, and then I wetted it with my mouth, and then I tied it. Sometimes you have to tie something, you have to wet it a little bit, so she put it on the saliva from her mouth on this thread, and she was able to tie it tight. Now Rashi explains that this woman, as opposed to the other case where it was the friend that was Anida, this woman herself was Anida. And Rashi says, lo ha'isi tevula l'nidasi, she hadn't gone to the mikvah for her nidus, and therefore, v'yesh lochush, we have to be concerned. Shema kisha'orga bo shalosh etzbos adayin haroch rok lach. At the beginning, it's not a garment, so the thread, it can't become tummy. But maybe the moisture of this rok had not yet dissipated. It hadn't dried out. And now, when she was weaving and weaving and weaving, now it's three etzbos by three etzbos. V'rok hanida avatumahu. And this rok is an avatumah and can be metame the garment. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Here's the second pshat from his Rabbanim. Let's stick with the first pshat in Rashi. And therefore, in this situation, Rabbi Shmuel found out that this woman, in fact, could have been metame the entire garment. And therefore, again, Omar Rabbi Shmuel said, Kaba gedolim divrei chacham. How great are the words of the chachamim? Shayomim belibo l'shom mutar. Only if you have intention and you're careful, then it's considered tar. But if not, you can't say afterwards, oh yeah, I think nothing touched it. Because as you turn out, people aren't careful. And in both of these two situations, the women who came before Rabbi Shmuel, each one, they probably would have said beforehand, oh no, it's absolutely tahora. But it turns out that each of them had been matami potentially in some way. Now, Gemara says, Bishlam alor b'yelazabar of tzadok, in regard to the case of the two women, case number three, that they exchanged their clothing in the bathhouse. That's why it's no good. because they each assumed that the other one was an Am Haaretz. They didn't know that they were both Chaverim, and therefore, that's why they're Tomei in that situation. And likewise, in case number two, Rav Yonas ben Amram, in the case of the person who by accident took out his Vachendika clothing, his weekday clothing, instead of his Shabbos clothing, so Kivan de Kalim, the Shabbos, Ovid Lehu Shimur Tvei, since the person is normally more careful with the Shabbos clothing, that's not considered a good Shmira if it's only was watching it with the way he would watch his weekday clothing, and it's called a Hesach Hadas, Masach Tatayim Minayim. But case number one is a Kasha. Cases number two and three, they can be explained over here why it's not a case of a person watching one thing, and if it's something else, it's not considered a lack of Shmira. But here, in case two and number three, there was extenuating circumstances. There was something else going on. In case number three, each one thought the other was an Am Haaretz, and therefore they weren't careful, and that's why Rabbi Akiva passed it to Tomei. And in case number two, Rabbi Yonos ben Amram, it was again, he wasn't as careful as he should have been because he thought it was a weekday garment. And that's why in those two situations we say Tomei. But in case number one, Elul, Rabbi Yonos ben Elazar, where the one person dropped his mafarto, his shawl, or his hat, or his kerchief, and the other person picked it up, Navidle Lehushim or Bidei Chavre. Why don't we say that? The person who owned it, he was watching it the whole time, he saw the other person pick it up and give it back to him. So what's the chisaron? Why should there be a lack of shmir in that situation? It should be tar. Yet we said it's tamei. That's the kasha. So the Gemara answers, over Rabbi Yochanan, chazaka eino d'mishamer ma'asha b'yad chavero. The answer is that as soon as the person who dropped it saw it go into the other person's hands, so he's no longer watching it. The other guy's watching it for me. The one that picked it up is watching it. And the one that picked it up says, he doesn't know that I'm tar. He doesn't know if I'm tummy. He doesn't obviously care about tum and tar in this situation, and therefore, he's not watching it either. So mimonoshach, neither of them is watching it, and that's why it's tummy in this case of Rav Yonason ben Elazar. Where it says, really? The law? Are you telling me that one person doesn't watch it if it's in somebody else's hands and we turn to Chofel and Beis? I'll show you that that's not true. But Tanya, because we learned in the following Braisa, Harisha Yuchamarov, Upoalov, Teunin Taros. Rashi explains over here that you have a person, he has his donkey drivers and his workers that are going and carrying these earthenware containers. Rashi says, Tunin Taharos could go in Yayin, Bechovio Shulcheris, their wine inside earthenware barrels. And again, the Hain Eina Nogim Besochim, they're not going to touch the inside. We'll see why in a moment. However, if they do touch the outside, it doesn't metame, because Klicheris ain't metame megabel. So therefore, you have these workers and these donkey drivers that are going and carrying these earthenware barrels. And Afapi Shehiflik Behen Yosim Emil, even though the owner, who is the Porsche, he's the one who is the careful with Tum and Tara, and these are Amaratzim, the workers with Mustama Amaratzim, and therefore they're not careful. So even though he's more than a mil away from them, a mil is 2,000 Amma, about a kilometer, he's more than a mil away from them. Nevertheless, Tehorosov Toros, the Taras that he had inside these barrels, the wine that he had in these earthenware barrels, remains Tahor. But that's only in a situation where he was able to come, as we'll see, he was able to reach them at any moment in time. However, if he told them, he says, oh, you go ahead and I'll catch up with you later on. And therefore, they don't expect them to come upon them at any time. As soon as he's out of sight, then all of a sudden the wine in the barrel automatically becomes tamei because these are amaratzim and they're not going to watch it carefully, and all of his taros inside there are considered tamei. Now, the obvious question is, maishno reisha, maishno seifa. How come in the first situation, when he's able to be, even though more than a mil away, but he could come upon them at any moment in time, then we're not concerned that the inside of the container, the wine in the container, is tamei. But in the second case, we are concerned that the wine is tamei. Isn't this the same thing? Why in one case are we not concerned? Why in one case are we concerned? So Amar Yitzchak Nafka, he explains, Reisha, the beginning, the first case, where we said we're not concerned that it's tamei, b'metar chamara v'pal v'kach. That's because the workers and the donkey drivers over here, he made them all go to the mikvah, and therefore they're not tamei. And that's why he's not concerned. If they were to touch something inside the barrel, it wouldn't make it tamei anyway. But says, if that's true, so then we have to assume that the Reisha and the Sefer talking about the same thing. Sefer Nami is where he immersed them, and therefore, why is he concerned in that situation? So Gemara says, no. In the second situation, in Am Haaretz, Makbid Al Magach Chaveiro, In the second situation, we're concerned that even though they're tahar, but they may let another Am Haaretz come by and touch things, and it'll make it tamei. So it says the Yochi Reish Nami. So then, why are we not concerned? The same situation in the first case. So it says no, because Beba Lohem Derech Akoloson. Because in the first case, he could come at them at an angle at any point in time. He's still, so to say, within eyesight of them, and they're afraid that he could come upon them at any moment in time, and they're not going to let anybody else touch it. They know they'll lose their job, they won't get paid, they'll be in a lot of trouble if they know that somebody else touches. And therefore, in this situation, where he could come upon them at any moment in time, they're going to be medak, they cannot let anybody touch it. So why not in the Sefer? Yochi Sefer Nami. So he could come upon them at any time. Oh, so as I pointed out, no. Kivin to Amalu, he told them, Luchu, you go on ahead. And I'll catch up with you afterwards. He's basically telling them, I'm not with you. And therefore, Mismach Somcho Datayu. And therefore, they are certain that he ain't coming. And therefore, they may let a friend come and touch it. Since they're Amorat, they say, what difference does it make? We're all Tohar, even though they're not. And therefore, they're going to let a friend touch it. And the second case, when he's not really there and they're not concerned, it's like the concept of a Yosef Nichnas, the Mashkiach, who's coming and going. He could come at any time. Here, he can't come at any time. He said, go ahead, I'll catch up with you tomorrow. So then in that situation, we are concerned that if as soon as he's out of eyesight from them, as soon as he's out of view, then in fact, all the wine in the barrels is by definition now considered to be tamei. We have to be concerned about it. With this, we conclude the second parak, Hadron Lecha Ein Darshan, Hadron Lecha Ein Darshan, Hadron Lecha Ein Darshan, and we go to the third and final chapter in this beautiful Masechta Chagiga, which is also the final chapter in all of Seder Moed, a huge accomplishment for everybody doing the Daf Yomi. So we begin with the next Mishnah. This is a famous Mishnah that's going to start outlining either 10 or 11. We'll see in the Gemara's Machlokes. The difference is that Truma is less stringent the way we deal with Truma than we do with Kachim. The next Mishnah after that will tell us in some ways Truma is more stringent than Kachim. So we will have areas where Truma is more stringent, and we'll have areas where Kachim is more stringent, and we start off with Chomer Bakodesh Mi Betruma. We'll start off the Mishnah with things that are stricter in regards to Kachim than they are in regards to Truma. And the first one is Shemat Bilin Kelim Besoch Kelim LeTruma Avolo LeKodesh, that you can immerse one utensil that's Tomei, that you're using for Truma, inside another utensil. You can put the two utensils, one inside the other, and the water will be able to get in between. We're not concerned about it, and that's a valid immersion. But for Kachim, if these utensils are used for Kachim, we wouldn't allow that. We're taking an extra stringency that maybe the water will be able to get in between or not, and therefore we take the stringency that it didn't get in for Kachim, as opposed to by Truma, where we think it went and got in, we're not concerned about it. So that's stringency number one, where we treat Kachim stricter than we do Truma. Stringency number two, if you have a utensil that has different component parts to it, achorayim, v'toch, ubeis hatzvita. You have three parts of the utensil. You have the inside, you have the outside, and then you have something called the beis hatzvita. The Gemara is going to tell us a couple of different definitions of what the beis hatzvita is, and we'll have this discussion in 2 days on Chabez or Mebez, where we'll have one definition of the beis hatzvita is the place where you hand it over to the other person, so it's like a handle of some sort, or it's a place where they used to have a separate area where the fussy people would be able to put their spices, their salt, or their condiments, and they would put it in a separate area, and the fussy person wouldn't put it inside the cup itself. The Aruch has possibly a third explanation. He said when you're handing over the utensil to somebody else, they used to drink from the same cup. So you would want to turn it around and not drink from the exact same place where the person previously drank from. So that's called the base tseva. That's the area where you would have the handle and you turn it around so the other person would drink from a different place. In any event, you have these different component parts of the utensil, what we call the achorayim, the outside, the toch, the inside, and the beis hatzvita, this other place. So in this situation, they are considered all separate components in regards to truma. By truma, we separate them out. Avalo b'kodesh, but by kodesh, if one of them became tamei, all of the entire utensil is tamei. And as Rashi points out, we're dealing over here with tumah d'rabbanan. Okay, that's number two. Now we go to number three. And oseas hamedrus, if somebody is carrying a item that is a medrash, it's an avatuma. Let's say he's carrying a garment that Anita had worn or sat on. So this garment is a medrash. It's an avatuma. Nevertheless, in his other hand, no siyasa truma. He's allowed to hold truma in his other hand, and we're not concerned that one will be metame the other. Now, when we say that it's no siyasa truma, this is, for example, it's inside a chavis, Rashi says, of a kli cheres, and ain't no nogea bavir, it's not going to touch the inside. And since it can't become tummy from the outside, by truma we don't have to be concerned. However, avolo es hakodesh, by kodesh we added stringency here and say we are concerned. Next, number four, big day, ochlei truma, the garments that a person, a kohen, who eats truma, are considered medrash lekodesh. That we already had in the previous Mishnah, in the previous parak, where we discussed, it says that even though they're eating it with the concerns all for truma, but that's not a higher level, it's not kachim, and therefore the garment that he has, or the utensil that he has, which would be fine for truma, is considered a medrash in regards to kachim. Okay, that's number four. Number five, lo ki midas ha-kodesh, midas ha-truma. Again, we treat kodesh different than truma. In what respect? Shebo ba-kodesh, in regards to the kachim utensil. For example, you have some type of a clothing that you have to tie and untie it in order to be tovelit, in order to get make sure that the water gets inside. So normally the water would be able to get inside, and by truma we're not concerned about it. However, in this situation, when you're dealing with kachim, you have to untie all the knots or the ropes. Matir, you have to untie them. Umanagib, you have to dry them out. And only afterwards, umakbil, you put them in the mikvah so the water can get into every single place guaranteed. And only afterwards, when you take it out of the mikvah, achakach kosher, then you're allowed to do this. That's what we do by kachim. However, betruma, we don't do all of this. We don't make you, number one, untie everything. I don't make you dry it off. It's adequate, kosher. You can even tie it. V'yachad kach matbil. You can even put it in the mikvah right then and there. It is not a problem. The water will get in. Now, obviously, if it's water can't get in, then it's no good. But here, we don't have a stringency to say that maybe the water didn't get in. For kachim, we do. For truma, we don't. Okay. Number six. Kelim ha-nigmarim b'tahara. Tzrichim tefila l'kodesh. Avolo l'truma. If you have utensils that were absolutely tar, so we had a stringency on them, but they were being made, we had an additional stringency on them that you have to be tovel them if you're going to use them for kachim, but you don't have to have this additional stringency if you're going to use them for eating truma. Number seven. Hakli mitzaref masha betocho l'kodesh. If there is a utensil that's used for kachim, and you have, let's say, muffins inside of it, so each muffin is a separate entity, they're not all attached together. The fact that, however, they're all in one kli together combines them all, and if a tummy person were to touch one of the muffins, all of the muffins become tummy. However, avalo b'truma, that then only applies to kachim, it doesn't apply to truma. Next, number eight, harivi b'kodesh pasul v'ashlishi b'truma. In regards to truma, we only go up to the shlishi level, but in kachim, we even go up to the revi level. So that's another difference where kachim is stricter than truma. Number nine, in regards to truma, uba truma, im nitneis achas miyodov, chaverta tohora. However, uba kodesh, matbil shtehem. In regards to truma, if one of your hands became tame, so the other hand isn't automatically tame. But in regards to kachim, if one of your hands became tame and you touch the other hand, so then the other hand becomes tame. We consider them both to be tame. And again, we'll learn more about this in the Gemara. Rashi tells us over here, we're dealing again with Tumah Derabbanan. Shena Matama El Yadayim, Lois Aguf. Obviously, it's not going to be Matama, the whole guf. So in this situation, we are stricter by kachim than we are by truma. Number 10, Ochlin, Neguvim, Biyadayim, Misuavos, Betruma, Avaloba Kodesh. If you're eating a food item and it's a dry food item, it's not moist, and your hands are tame. Misuavos means tame, but they're not wet. So you're allowed to eat a dry food item with dry tame hands. It can't be Matama yet by truma. However, by kachim, we had a stringency over here, and we say, no, you're not allowed to do that. That was number 10. Now we have number 11. We turn to Chafala from an Aleph. Ha'onein, a person, Nebuch, in Aninus, for a relative, one of the Zayin Krovim, one of the seven relatives, a father, mother, Rahman al-Islam, a child, a son or a daughter, Rahman al-Islam, a brother or a sister, Rahman al-Islam, and a wife, Rahman al-Islam. If any of them pass away, so then until they're buried, the person's in Aninus. And likewise, Mechusah Kippurim, somebody who has to bring korbanos, he's out of whatever period of time he was in that was tamei, but he's still lacking to bring the korbanos. So that person is called Mechusah Kippurim. So tzrichim tefila lakodesh, they need an additional tefila in order to eat kachim. However, avalo l'truma, the basic thing is that they're no longer tamei. So therefore, they do not have to go and do a tefila when they're eating truma, but we make them do an additional tefila when they're eating kachim. That concludes the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in this beautiful parak, and that's a great place for us to stop. That concludes today's shiur.